Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. U.S. Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos has been in Alaska this week touring various alternative and charter schools throughout the state. She's highlighting her National Education Freedom Scholarship proposal, which she says would allow for families to have more choice in how their students are educated. As Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early reports, some Alaska education advocates question if and how the program could work in the state.
The Education Freedom Scholarship Program is designed to encourage private investments in education. Individuals and businesses would receive a federal tax credit for donating to state nonprofits that grant scholarships for elementary or secondary education. Here's Secretary DeVos.
So if Alaska chose to be a part of the Education Freedom Scholarship Program, they would name one or more 501c3 organizations, and those organizations then would grant out scholarships to students and their families to find the right fit for their education.
The program needs approval from Congress before it can become law. DeVos discussed her proposal with several Alaska lawmakers and educators at a roundtable on Monday. Palmer Republican Senator Shelley Hughes was one of them. She says that out of the $5 billion set aside for the credit, Alaska scholarship organizations would see about $25 million. Hughes hoped the money could be used for pre-K programs. She says rural educators were hopeful it could help students in their communities.
And I believe that they're open and wanting to do something differently because the same old has not been working the last few decades. And so I think that these scholarships might even help spur some innovative programs in villages.
The Education Freedom Scholarship Program allows for investing in both public and private schools. But local education advocates worry the program is designed to benefit private schools more. Elise Galvin is the former head and current member of Great Alaska Schools, a nonprofit focused on school issues in the state. She lobbied successfully for Senator Lisa Murkowski to vote against confirming DeVos's education secretary 2 years ago with similar concerns.
The program still diverts tax dollars to private schools. So there's going to be more money into private schools from tax dollars.
Galvin says Alaska already has a wide variety of public alternative schooling options, from career technical education to early access to college. She also says communities in the state already have a voice in how education dollars are spent.
The local control means that our school boards get to help decide things like curriculum, whether or not we're hiring the right people, whether or not even we have the right things with regard to not just teaching, but counselors. Are we doing the right things in terms of engaging our kids with arts and sports?
Galvin says she's more supportive of just putting money into the districts to allow them to make those decisions rather than creating a complicated voucher system. Anchorage Democratic Senator Tom Begich was at the roundtable with Hughes and DeVos. He says he's not even sure that the federal program would happen anytime soon.
I'm a little more, I guess, cynical about the prospects of these kinds of pieces passing, but surely open to doing everything we can to take advantage of them when they are available.
Begich, Hughes, and Galvin all said that while they didn't think that DeVos was knowledgeable of the complexities of schooling in Alaska, they appreciated that she took the time to visit many communities in the state. In Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
The Defense Department last week canceled a billion-dollar contract held by Boeing for development of the payload on interceptor missiles, like those at Fort Greely. They're intended to knock down incoming intercontinental ballistic missiles, or ICBMs, but as KUAC's Tim Ellis reports, that won't affect the expansion of the missile defense base at Greeley.
Pentagon officials say they canceled Boeing's $1.2 billion contract because of ongoing problems with the so-called kill vehicle that sits atop the interceptor missiles. Officials with the Raytheon company, which builds the component, reportedly say they've struggled to correct design and manufacturing problems that have increased the kill vehicle program's costs. But that decision won't stop expansion work underway at the missile base on Fort Greeley.
The work of adding the 20 new silos at Missile Field 4 at Fort Greeley is underway now. We're making good progress, and that will continue. That absolutely will continue until completion.
Missile Defense Agency spokesperson Mark Wright says the interceptors to be emplaced in the 20 new silos won't come with the redesigned kill vehicles, or RKVs, that are intended to collide with an incoming enemy missile as it enters the Earth's atmosphere en route to its target.
With the RKV cancellation, we will no longer put in the ground the interceptors topped with RKV warheads.
Wright says instead, the new interceptors and eventually the 40 others at Greeley all will be equipped with the next-generation kill vehicle that the Pentagon and its contractors will develop. But he says it'll take a while.
That's all something that, you know, we have to develop, figure out with industry what's technically feasible, what's not feasible, you know, etc.
Because of all that, Wright says there's no estimate yet on how long it'll take for the new kill vehicle to be developed and when it'll be deployed.
We're at the outset of the process of developing and procuring the next generation interceptor, so we don't have a timeline yet.
The RKV is the second generation kill vehicle that replaced the problem-plagued first generation EKV, or exo-atmospheric kill vehicle. The RKV had more success than the EKV at knocking down incoming missiles, a technological feat that's been compared with shooting a bullet out of the sky with another bullet. But the kill vehicles and the overall ground-based mid-course defense program they're part of have met only partial success in overcoming that challenge, as the interceptors have destroyed just over half of the dummy ICBMs they've targeted in tests. That's why one Fairbanks-based observer says a mid-course correction to the $200 million Missile Field 4 expansion is a good idea.
If we're going to have a missile defense field, you know, we want it to be effective.
Jim Dodson is president and CEO of the Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation, and he says the next generation kill vehicle should perform better against both conventional nuclear-tipped missiles and more advanced weapons like those being developed by adversaries.
I think the military has determined that the vehicle is not effective, particularly against the emerging technology from North Korea and Russia and China. So, you know, certainly you can't categorize that move as bad news.
Boeing was awarded the RKV program contract in May 2017, and the Pentagon put it on pause 2 years later before finally deciding to halt the program last week. But Boeing remains a major ground-based mid-course defense system contractor. Overall, the Pentagon has spent about $180 billion on the GMD program since it was begun in 2002. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
7 months after a U.S. Coast Guard seaman was found dead in Unalaska, a fellow member has been charged with his murder and is now awaiting court-martial proceedings. KUCB's Laura Kregel has more.
19-year-old seaman Ethan Tucker was charged Wednesday with the murder of Ethan Kelch, another 19-year-old seaman who was also stationed on the Coast Guard cutter Douglas Monroe. When the Kodiak-based vessel stopped in Unalaska in January for repairs, Kelch went missing while off duty. The Virginia man was later found unresponsive in waters near the port and pronounced dead at the clinic.
I wouldn't want to speculate on the motivation or cause of this incident, because there is an ongoing investigation that continues.
That's Nicolino Cangemi of Coast Guard Public Affairs. He says Tucker, who's from Michigan, has been confined to a military prison in San Diego and charged with 7 violations of the Uniform Code of Military Justice,
including 2 specifications for murder, 1 specification for involuntary manslaughter, 2 specifications for aggravated assault, 1 for maiming, another for obstructing justice, making false official statement, and a specification for failure to obey a general lawful order.
According to charging documents, investigators say Tucker struck Kelch in the head and strangled him before placing and leaving him in the water. They also say Tucker misled rescuers who were searching for Kelch, made a false statement to investigators, and consumed alcohol while underage. If found guilty at a court-martial trial, Tucker faces
dishonorable discharge, confinement for life, and a total forfeiture of pay and allowances. But it's also important to note that Seaman Tucker is innocent until proven guilty, and that these charges merely represent allegations.
Those allegations come after 7 months of inquiry by the Coast Guard Investigative Service, with help from Unalaska and state authorities. Cangemi declined to comment on Tucker's prior military record and whether it includes any misconduct, citing the confidentiality of personnel records. Tucker's first hearing is now scheduled in California for Friday. In Unalaska, I'm Laura Kregel.
And the Kenai Peninsula Borough Mayor signed a temporary local disaster declaration yesterday for 2 communities on the peninsula that are quickly running out of drinking water. Seldovia and Nanwalik are on the Southern Peninsula, and both communities rely on reservoirs that are drying up due to a lack of rainfall and low snowpack. Dan Nelson is the emergency manager for the borough. He says the borough's declaration will open up resources. And here's a look at the Juneau Borough and Northern Admiralty Island forecast from the National Weather Service going into the Labor Day weekend. Tonight, clear, lows around 40. Saturday, mostly sunny, highs around 70. Sunday, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-60s. With those clear skies tonight, let's take a look at the aurora forecast from the Geophysical Institute at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Forecast tonight is a 5, high activity. Auroral activity will be high. Weather permitting, highly active auroral displays will be visible overhead from Udyavik to Bethel, Dillingham, and Ketchikan. That's it for the KTO News Update for Friday, August 30th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.